The city of Boston undertook a water planning approach in 2018 to think about how it would continue to provide reliable water to a growing Austin for the next 100 years. And it was quite an undertaking because we really wanted to think about it thoroughly. It incorporated thinking about things, you know, kind of what we're accustomed to thinking about with water supply. So things like reservoirs and groundwater, kind of the traditional engineered approaches to securing water, as well as thinking about water supply management strategies. So how can we make the water that we have last longer? And what people generally think of when they think of that is conservation measures, things like, you know, limiting how long you take a shower for, or how many days of the week you run your irrigation system. But another piece of that is recycling water in one form or fashion. So all of those were considered as we looked forward, thinking about what our demand would be in the future as we have more people moving here every single day and potentially less water from our existing supplies out into the future due to the impacts of climate change. So all of those issues were considered. And as I mentioned previously, there was a number of solutions presented to kind of meet the gap that that we saw in our modeling. And so some of them were bringing new supplies online. A hot term that many of you may have heard of is aquifer storage and recovery, or ASR. That's where you, when you have a time of a lot of water, rather than capturing it in a reservoir where it can evaporate, you put it underground in a reservoir, and then you pump it back out in a period of drought. So that one's getting a lot of attention recently. But you know, there's ones that you've probably heard of for many years, things like desalination and additional reservoirs, and all of those have kind of increasing levels of cost. They're very expensive type projects, and so the other side of that is the demand management that tends to be less expensive and therefore potentially quite fruitful to pursue. And then we did also talk here about there was a large focus, and this came from our stakeholders. There was a large focus on looking at kind of decentralized activities. So rather, again, than the traditional approach of one giant reservoir or one giant water treatment plant, to have smaller treatment plants located in areas around the city, which improves resilience and has a number of other ancillary benefits. So that was kind of an important piece of our water forward planning. We also, you know, we started talking about this term fit for purpose water through this process. So when we talk about, you know, water that comes out of a water treatment plant, it is treated to very high standards to make it safe for consumption. And then with a good chunk of that water, we irrigate with it or we flush toilets with it. And when you think about that, there's something a little bit off, right? You don't need water treated to that high quality to do things like irrigation or flushing toilets. So we, you know, in this chart here, you'll see the blue is that water that's treated to incredibly high standards, that's fit for human consumption. And then the purple is the demand that is for things, for non-potable demand, water that we don't actually drink. And then gray is the water that is the drinking water that we're using for our non-potable demand. So that's the drinking water that's being used to flush toilets, or the drinking water that's being used to water lawns. And so you see, as we move through time here, that gray piece is getting smaller and smaller, and we're using an appropriate source of water based on what kind of demand we have. So that's an important part of our strategy. So, as I said, one piece of this whole water supply plan is the decentralized reuse. So we do have a centralized reuse system as well, where water comes to the centralized treatment plant, it gets treated, and then it gets pumped back out for things like irrigating golf courses, anywhere you have like really large non-potable demands. But what the goal is here is to have water that is treated on site and being used to meet on site demand, and that reduces the amount of moving water all over the city, and realizing that we can kind of have a full cycle within one single building. Now, there's a balance here. You do gain efficiencies in large centralized projects, but you lose some efficiencies in having to pipe water all over the city. So kind of the sweet spot where we're realizing comes in at large commercial areas. So that's, again, kind of the connection of where I am to where you all are at. You're talking about commercial leasing, and this program is really focused on commercial properties that are kind of 250,000 square feet or greater. But that can be using the, I'll show it here. It's using gray water, which is water that comes out of sinks, water that comes out of showers, laundry,